Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Yes, welcome back everybody to part two of episode 479 of the Keeping Karlsson Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I'm your host here, Elon Dubrovsky. I've been chatting with Brian Kalm about players that are hot, cold, mainly cold. We're going to get more into hot this time as people are getting into their fantasy playoff semi and quarter and even finals. What an exciting time, Brian. And we've got a ton to get to. So I, of course, will start by saying, hello, how are you? And I'm going to hope that you're going to give me a very short answer because we got a lot to get to.
I am good.
Okay, so Brian, we were talking about some goalies on cold streaks. All of a sudden, Filip Gustavsson, who I feel like just a couple shows ago, and this is the thing with goalies, right? Why do we even talk about them? Why do we spend so much time on them? At one point we were talking about how it looks like he's stealing the net from Marc-Andre Fleury. He's doing so well. Well, he was doing like amazing. And like if this was, again, looking long term, I'd be like, I'm not going to give up on him because he was coming off like two straight shutouts against Calgary the last time I think we talked about him. Since then, he's led in 5 goals against Arizona and then 4 goals against Boston. Meanwhile, all of a sudden, Marc-Andre Fleury seems to be turning things around. He was in net today for the 5-3 win over Washington. So now looking to next week, Minnesota plays Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if Fleury gets the start on Tuesday against New Jersey. Probably means he gets 2 starts next week, which probably means there's not much reason to hold Filip Gustavsson. I think we might be at a snoozer. And obviously, this all depends on like who gets the Tuesday start. But just based on what's happened recently and Minnesota still wants to win games here, I don't see why they wouldn't go back to Fleury.
I agree. You had Gustavsson with 2 consecutive shutouts. One of those was a loss because of a shootout loss in Calgary. And then Fleury took the net and stopped, gave up 2 goals against 2 consecutive nights where he faced 48 and 37 shots. Then it went back to Gustavsson, laid an egg against Arizona. Fleury kind of laid an egg. Like he won, but he gave up 5 goals to St. Louis, then back to Gustavsson. I'm trying to find a pattern here, Elon. I'm not quite seeing one, but I don't see any reason to think. Well, the pattern I see is that if a goalie plays really well, they might get that second start in a row. And Gustavsson did not play really well against Boston on Saturday. And that means that Fleury could have at least the first start, possibly the second start, or he could get the first start, blow it, and then Gustavsson gets the next one, plays well, and then gets the next. There's a lot of ways this could shake out, but I think the takeaway here is that don't give up on Marc-Andre Fleury, who had been serving backup duties for a long, long time. But yeah, he has been on fire. He's had, well, up until this game against St. Louis, he had 5 really, really, really strong starts, and it looks like he's put himself back into the conversation as being the straight-up starter, or at least the 1A.
Yeah, and sticking with the Wild, Brian, we've got to talk about the guy who's really stepped up in Kirill Kaprizov's absence. I swear I said on a podcast, maybe it was just in my head, I feel like I said that with Kaprizov injured, I could see someone like a Matt Boldy like really stepping up and taking over that role as being like the go-to guy. And like whether I said it or not, it's definitely what's happened. He's been like insane since Kaprizov got injured. I think probably we were saying, oh, this probably isn't the kind of thing that's good for anybody. False. This has been very good for Boldy to really establish himself as a potential superstar in the league when he is their team's best player. He just had a hat trick today against Washington, which brings his streak to now 9 points in his last 5 games. Boldy is a very, very good player. He's like, you know, last year when he was breaking out, a lot of people were thinking, myself included, like, I wonder how much of this has to do with him playing with Kevin Fiala, who always goes blazing hot in the second half. But now we're seeing with this run, like, this is really convincing me that, like, Boldy is going to be a really high-end player in this league. Only 21 years old, taking the team on his back. Also taking Marcus Johansson on his back, because Marcus Johansson, someone who you can never really rely on, he's playing on this Boldy line, and all of a sudden he's got 5 points in his last 3 games. So you probably can't get Boldy because he's rostered in like all leagues that are serious. But if you want to get a piece, I guess you can go with Marcus Johansson, who, yeah, he's riding. I shouldn't be too mean. He's not riding coattails, but you know what I mean? Like, he's definitely getting in on this amazing hot streak by Matt Boldy.
One thing that's been impressive about the Wild here, like you said, we were wondering like who would step up, and basically everyone has still been producing really well without Kaprizov. And I know Kaprizov has gone missing at just an awful time for his fantasy managers, right? Like, this is, I mentioned Brandon at the start of the show having, like, he's about to lose his second consecutive week to the same, to Harrison, who kept him in this match, who forced him into this matchup in the first place. And Brandon lost Kaprizov not long ago. And I think that has to, you know, to Brandon's credit, that has something to do with his trouble so far. But Minnesota not faltering so terribly. Since Kaprizov has been out, the goals have continued coming. I mean, partially in thanks to Matt Boldy and his heroics. But overall, the Wild have scored 24 goals in their last five games without Kaprizov. And you look at Matt Boldy crushing it. You already mentioned Marcus Johansson doing great. Ryan Hartman still doing well, even though, remember, he couldn't even be a top-line center with Kaprizov. He's got 6 points in five games without Kaprizov. Matt Zuccarello has slowed down a little. He's still taking shots. Joel Eriksson-Ek, he took consecutive six-shot games and has 5 points in his last three. You mentioned Marcus Johansson. Like, there's a lot going on here in Minnesota, and that's not what we expected to see with Kaprizov leaving the lineup, but that's great news for anybody who is still rostering Wild. And if Marcus Johansson is still out there for you, like, Elon, I grabbed him a couple weeks ago. It was going to be, like, a very short-term stream, and he wasn't doing anything, but then I had a bye week. I'm like, okay, well, I don't need to send him out of my lineup now. I don't see anybody that I need to add right this second. And then I went on vacation and I didn't look at my roster for a few days, and I was ready to drop him today, but then I went and saw what he did for me, and I was very pleased. He's gonna stay on my roster for a little while yet, especially playing with Matt Boldy. One more name I'll throw out there, Elon, just to touch base on, is John Klingberg. In Minnesota, he has not pointed in the last couple games, but he is shooting more than he was in Anaheim. He is seeing more power. Like, he is quarterbacking the top power play. He has 9 shots in his last 3 games, a total of 4 points in 8 games since joining the Wild, which isn't great, but I still think there is some promise. Like, if he was out there, I would drop Seth Jones to add John Klingberg.
I will even go a step further. I think I would take Klingberg over Charlie McAvoy for next week.
Wow.
Well, Boston plays 4 times and Minnesota plays 3 times, but all else equal, I would consider Klingberg on the top power play over McAvoy on the second power play.
What about Dahlin?
I would take Dahlin. I'll take the top power play, though I am nervous about this injury. I think there's something wrong with Dahlin, but again, that's just me. Just like, what do I know, right? Also, I got another like sort of like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, but I could just be a blowhard. Don't you think it might be like good for Minnesota? Almost like, how much confidence does it give a team if like their superstar goes down and then they're still like able to be so successful? And now they're going to go into the playoffs and Kaprizov will be back. And I wonder if like, this has like been a good thing for them almost to show that like, oh yeah, we can even score goals without this guy. Now he's back. We could do this, guys.
Yeah, no. And they were struggling to score goals on a regular basis. Like, going back to February, the Wild had so many nights where they only scored 1 or 2 goals. And coach was just like, I don't know what to tell you. And the GM, Bill Guerin, was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, they know what they're supposed to do. They need to go out there. I remember I saw a picture, I think it was the Wild, where they left the scoreboard showing the score from the night prior as like motivation to the team. Like, they were so down on them, and now they're ripping without Kaprizov. So yeah, it's got to be. And then when you get Kaprizov back, it's like, okay, well, we were this good without him, here we go now.
Yeah, no, I think Minnesota could be an interesting team in the playoffs this year. Like, the West, as has been discussed, like, isn't super deep, so I don't see why they can't potentially go on a run. And like, you know, as long as they could avoid Colorado, which actually right now, if the playoffs were to start today, Minnesota would play Colorado in the first round, which would not be the best get. But assuming Colorado goes and leapfrogs Minnesota and Dallas and gets to the top of the division, which I think they will, then yeah, I think Minnesota could potentially go on a nice little run there. That'll be fun to watch. We're still talking about struggling goalies. Let's talk about Jordan Binnington. Okay, what to do with this guy? Like, Yahoo also did a frustrating thing, not to me, like, didn't hurt me or anything, but I noticed that Yahoo gave Binnington an O, so you were able to put him, I don't know if that's still the same, but someone on our Discord was mentioning that, like, generally on Yahoo, when a player is suspended, you can't even put him in IR, so you're just like stuck with a lost spot. So whoever you know, was able to stash Binnington and open up that spot got a real advantage, because I was considering, like, I would have said, like, you know, before the suspension of two games, just drop him. Like, you're not going to have an open spot just for Jordan Binnington, who hasn't even been good. And yeah, in Binnington's last few games, very bad, right? He let in 5 goals in that game where he went off the handle against Minnesota and then didn't fight Fleury. I guess it was more the refs that decided they wouldn't fight. But anyway, like, he let in 4 goals the game before that versus Vegas. Like, Binnington's been bad. He has an .892 save percentage on the season. So now he'll come back from his suspension. I assume he'll get a game, though it's worth mentioning that Joel Hofer was called up from the minors, who's been having a really great season, and he's having a really good game today. He's currently, I don't want to jinx anything, but he's currently stopped all 28 shots he's faced against the Winnipeg Jets with about 7 minutes to go. So if I'm the Blues and I'm trying to win, why am I going back to Binnington? So I think that maybe you drop Binnington. If he doesn't get that next, I guess it'll be interesting to see, you know, who gets that next game. The St. Louis plays next against Detroit on Tuesday. If Binnington's not playing that game, I don't know if I'd be holding him, especially if you could get Hofer, who's probably good. If Binnington's not playing, it's going to be Hofer playing, and I'd rather just get him in the short term.
I feel like if Hofer, yeah, if he's doing well, then why not just keep putting him in the net? He is a .920 in the AHL this year in 40 appearances with the Springfield Thunderbirds. And like, this is not his first good season in Springfield. So I wonder if this is an opportunity for Hofer to finally show that, hey, I can play at the NHL level and maybe put... I mean, honestly, I think St. Louis would be very happy to have someone to push Binnington. He's been brutal, but also, to be fair, and like, this is also a red flag for Joel Hofer himself, is you gotta look out if you're playing behind the Blues these days. They look like they've completely thrown in the towel. Over the last month, they are giving their goalie less protection than Chicago and Columbus are giving their goalies. Only Anaheim, Buffalo, and Montreal are giving up higher quality chances against than St. Louis over the last month. So that's a reason to want to steer clear of either St. Louis goalie, regardless of who's playing. But Binnington has been inconsistent. I was listening to Short Shifts with Shamus and Lewis, who were talking about just how unreliable Bennington's been for a long time. He's been on my Kakupful roster all season. And every time I start to think about dropping him, he sort of has like one big spike. And sometimes he keeps it up for a couple games. Sometimes it goes quiet again immediately. It's just been enough to stay on my roster. But yeah, if he is roster eligible again, he is currently O on Yahoo. Or last time I checked my roster, he was. If I have to make a choice about dropping him rather than activating him, it's consideration I will certainly give based on how rarely he's given me a really rewarding start this year.
Yeah, this out thing really enrages me, Brian. like Yahoo, get it together, okay? If you're going to make a change, like, do it in the off season. Like, there's been people who have held suspended players or dropped them.
Yeah.
Now you, like, change the rules. So there's probably people who dropped Binnington because they assumed since he was getting suspended, he wasn't going to be eligible. And now they're probably like, oh, well, I'm a dumb dumb. And though we're saying here that maybe you'd drop him anyways. But, like, it's so stupid.
Well, it happened with the Letang and Skinner, right? Someone else, like, Letang wasn't NA eligible or IR plus eligible, and Skinner was, even though they're both designated non-roster for like similar statuses.
Get out.
And then there was somebody else who was designated non-roster, and he got a brand new status. I can't remember who it was off the top, but it was IR-NR for like non-roster, and he could go IR plus. So yeah, like I'm happy to see mistakes being fixed, but it is doesn't feel totally fair, right? If some folks had to suffer before the fix was made.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. But what are you going to do? By the way, Brian, I did check because I said Hofer. I felt good about it. You started saying Hofer. Then for some reason, you just switched. I don't know. I thought we were in agreement here. I just looked it up. It is Hofer. If you're German, it's like Hofer, something like that. Anyway, this is German, so it's Hofer. So FYI.
Thanks.
Anyway, since we're on St. Louis, how about Jakub Vrána? By the way, and that's another pronunciation. Apparently, he had an interview, and he was like, I like when they call me Jakub, because that's the actual way to pronounce it. So Jakub Vrána, another goal today. He's red hot. Get him. If you could still get Jakub Vrána, you want him. He's the Vrána that we used to really like a couple seasons ago. He's back, and he's good on St. Louis. He's getting good deployment. He's on the top power play. Getting good. He's getting it all. He's scoring goals. So yeah, I don't think there's much to say about him. Also, you know who's good? And I brought him up before. I'm just going to say it again. Sammy Blais keeps getting points, keeps throwing a lot of hits. If you're in a bangers league and you don't have Sammy Blais, like a categories league where like hits is a category, Like, how could you not want this guy who's giving you, like, reliable hits every game? Like, today, Sammy Blais has a minute and 55 of power play time. Like, that looks like he's right. Looks like St. Louis is, like, splitting power plays, and he's on one of them. It's great. So, that, you know, those are some obvious hits there. Obviously, Kairou, Shen, like, a lot of people are hot. Buchnevich, by the way, red hot on St. Louis. He's probably the one. He's just, like, boring to talk about because everyone has already rostered him. But Buchnevich, at this point, is on a point streak of, what is it now, like, 12 games, 13 games? Like, what's the latest? 19 points in his last 12 games. So, yeah, 12-game point streak. Oh, he doesn't have a point today, though, against Winnipeg. 3 goals. So we'll see if he loses that streak. But, yeah, a lot of hot players, but the ones that might be available to you are, like, Verona and Blais.
Yeah, and the last time you mentioned Verona and Blais, I also threw in Kasperi Kapanen, who went quiet for a few games. But now has goals in consecutive nights with a goal tonight against Winnipeg as well, and 6 shots in one and part of a second game. So that's pretty good. So there's another guy in the top nine who's also seeing some new life in St. Louis and on one of those sort of evenly split power play units too.
All right, so Brian, I still have some more cold goalies I wanted to get to, and a lot more. We'll see how this goes, but we're going to take a quick break. We're listening to Keeping Carlson. All right, we are back. I'm pretty sure I ended that by saying we're listening to Keeping Carlson. I'm listening to half of Keeping Carlson, but you listening to the full thing, both tracks. Brian, let's go now to Vegas. Jonathan Quick was like looking like maybe he was reinvented in Vegas, but obviously that wasn't going to be the case. And yeah, he's had a couple bad games. And now today, the Golden Knights decided, after Quick had a rough previous game, they decided to give Yuri Patera another game. And Patera, who was like a nobody, he's like this guy that Ottawa called up, Ferguson. It's like goalies I didn't expect to like ever be in the NHL. And Patera just put up a real gem today against the Blue Jackets, stopping 35 of 37. So, you know, that's interesting. And if it was just going to be Patera and Quick for the rest of the season, then to be honest, I might be like saying, you know, maybe you should pick up this Patera guy because I have more confidence in him. But there's been a lot of news lately about how Logan Thompson and Laurent Brossoit are both traveling with the team on the upcoming road trip. And like, there's a quote from Bruce Cassidy I'm seeing here on gamedaytweets.com. I just searched filtered by Logan Thompson to get the latest tweets about him. And it looks like Bruce Cassidy said, it looks like we're turning the corner in that area of goalie health. So probably we're just in a situation where no reason to keep Quick. No reason to jump on Patera. If you have like Thompson available, you know, grab him. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't seem like there's any like one goalie to hold now in Vegas, aside from maybe Thompson. If he was fully healthy, I'd imagine he'd take over as a starter again.
I'd imagine. Yeah. But of course, so much can happen with a goalie coming back from injury. And also the Golden Knights now have 4 injured goalies, right? You've got Thompson, Brossoit, Aiden Hill, and of course Robin Lehner is still up there. I don't think he really counts. If he were healthy, I wonder where he'll slot in to this very busy picture. But Patera's had a, if anyone doesn't know, Yuri Patera, 24 years old, out of Prague, has had a really successful season in the AHL, a .916 save percentage in 27 games with the Henderson Silver Knights. And that's coming out of a season where he played some time in the ECHL, which meant his career was just about over. But the 6th round pick of the Golden Knights back in 2017 has found his way into the NHL. And yeah, put up a great start tonight. But I'm with you, Elon. There's not a whole lot of reason to get too deep into this with so many moving parts in the Vegas goaltending situation. I guess I will say, for anybody who was like, Jonathan Quick is back, he's not. That's not me rubbing it in anyone's face. It's too bad, but we basically saw the limits of what we could expect from Jonathan Quick, which is maybe he can find some magic for 1, 2, 3 games at a time, which is more than he did in LA all year. But now I think with that bubble burst, there's not a whole lot of hope that on any given night he's going to have a good one.
Yeah, and then also on Vegas for the offense, like again, a 7-2 win today, Jack Eichel with a hat trick. So anyone who's had him and maybe had some struggles with him for a while, like happy to finally get something out of him. A really huge game here today on a Sunday. Hopefully it would be very exciting if like Eichel ended up winning you your week to get you to the next round. Also, I'll bring up a guy on a hot streak that's potentially available in your league, though maybe not anymore. Riley Smith has really been turning it on lately. He had an assist today, bringing him to 10 points in his last 8 games. Like the lines have been like Smith back with Carlson, but with a guy named Pavel Dorofeyev. That was the line today. And then Eichel, by the way, was playing with Barbashev and Marchessault. So I guess, yeah, Smith is like not the top line. And he's also not even on the top power play. It looks like it was Eichel, Barbashev, Stevenson, Marchessault, Shea Theodore. So like on paper, you'd think Barbashev is in a better spot. But I think Riley Smith is clearly the golden knight you want of at least those two. So yeah, Riley Smith, good for him. He does this a lot, right? I feel like every season there's a stretch where Riley Smith goes super hot.
Yeah, there have been a few of them this year, and a lot of them have happened in weeks where I'm playing the guy who, the manager who has Riley Smith. So that's been a bummer, but it's nice to see him him go off again. Ivan Barbashev, by the way, has really cooled down since his initial arrival in Vegas. His ice time has like stayed reasonably decent, but isn't great. Chandler Stephenson showing some signs of life, too. He's got 3 assists, including 1 against Columbus today in his last 5 games. And go back another game, he's got a goal, too. But he's still barely shooting the puck, like 0 or 1 shots per game, which isn't abnormal. But when you're not locked in on the top line or even necessarily top power play, where like he spent some time off that unit over the last, well, season, then not necessarily worth having. But if I had to pick between Barbashev and Stevenson, I'm getting to the point where I'd probably still go Barbashev because he shoots, he hits, and he's still for sure on the top unit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not want like a top line, top power play guy for sure, even if he's a little bit cold. All right, one more goal. Okay, this is not a cold streak for a goalie, but it is like, you probably drop these people. Like Karel Vejmelka had already been in this split with Connor Ingram, which was already disappointing because it was already originally at the start of the year, like Vejmelka was the volume guy. And then they were like 50-50. But then, you know, you came to grips with that. I'm like, fine, so I'll get every second game from Vejmelka. It's still something. Now, I don't know. I think Vejmelka might not play much for the rest of the year because this guy Prosvetov, Ivan Prosvetov, has been called up from the minors for the Coyotes, very much like Joel Hofer. But this isn't a situation where Hofer like might get sent back down. I don't know what's going to happen there in St. Louis, right? Once Binnington comes back. But Prosvetov has been like announced that he's going to stay with the team. He got 2 games in a row this past week against Vancouver and Chicago, both wins. It's now 3 games and 3 wins for Prosvetov this season. He's got a .952 save percentage. He's been really very good. So I don't know, the Coyotes have 3 goalies. It's hard to like recommend jumping on Prosvetov, but because I just don't know like how they're going to split the games, but it seems like there's a chance that just this is the guy that's going to get the volume. So of all the Coyotes goalies right now, anyways, Prosvetov is the one I would want, or maybe just the answer is to have no one. But we can't ignore the great run that Prosvetov is on since being called up.
Agreed. I would go Prosvetov until fail. Is my current Arizona goalie strategy. I think I don't see why they wouldn't keep throwing him in while he's putting up good numbers.
Yeah, and the Coyotes, by the way, those 3 wins from Prosvetov, like, are part of a 6-game win streak. Like, the Coyotes are good now. They had a stretch last year. Remember when they, like, were really scary and good, and then they kind of disappeared again? I don't know if that's going to happen again this year. But yeah, 6 wins in a row, plus, like I mentioned, a matchup maximizer yesterday. Arizona has one of the best schedules next week. They go Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So a lot of off-day games. Those Friday, Sunday are both against Colorado, which may be tough. But you know what? You may want to say that it's tough to have a Colorado goalie against Arizona because, you know, Clayton Keller broke 70 points now. He's like, chasing like Coyotes scoring records. He's having an amazing season. Nick Schmaltz was injured, but he's already back. He continues being great. Barrett Hayton continues to be amazing. People have been even asking about a guy named Jack McBain, who is not someone that I had really heard of going into the season, but all of a sudden he's on a bit of a little run here, and he's really great in your bangers leagues. He had 7 hits in that game yesterday against Chicago and also put up an assist. So I'm counting now like 5 points in his last 6 games and just a whole whack of hits. So we had a question actually on our Discord of Hayton versus McBain in a multi-cat league from Brad, and it's like I liked, you know, the thinking where Brad was saying like maybe I'm giving up a few points but I'm getting a lot of hits by taking McBain. Obviously it depends like what you need, but like pretty hard to ignore Barrett Hayton at this point, just getting points every game, like scoring goals, like on the top line, top power play. So like I was basic and just said to go with Hayton, but yeah, like definitely you don't ignore either, especially with a good schedule this coming week. So one more who I talked about with Steve last week. He's the one who I didn't mention, this guy, and he was like, don't forget this guy, Yusuf Välimäki, really doing well. Like when all the defensemen got traded and then we were like saying on the podcast that Välimäki is going to take over as the top power play defenseman and you should grab him, he like went cold like shortly after that, and like in one of the leagues where I added him, I just dropped him and I regret it because now all of a sudden Välimäki has 7 points in his last 4 games. He's like riding along with this great win streak. So yeah, a lot of exciting options here on Arizona going into a week with a good schedule and a their good schedule. This isn't like, yeah, they have three off day games, but so do like five other teams. Like, it's literally Colorado and Arizona are the only teams that have three or more off day games. So yeah, lots to chew on here in Arizona. A lot of meat on the bone. I don't know. I don't eat meat, but like that's what you say, right?
I'm going to even add a couple more names to the mix there, Elon. First off, Jack McBain. Yeah, thanks for mentioning him. Great peripherals. Takes faceoffs too, if that helps you too. Not a lot of shots, but I'm going to shout out his whole line, including Matias Michelli, who we've been mentioning on and off through the years. Somebody who's been in the rookie scoring race all through the season. Currently sits third with 39 points, two behind Mason McTavish and 10 behind the leader and probably like the Calder favorite and what's been a really boring Calder season, yeah. Matty Beniers. Like, remember, Kochakov was considered, like, we were like, oh, could he still win the Calder even if he's, like, sent to the minors halfway through the season? And, of course, he's, you know, no.
He's lost
is probably the answer. So Matias Michelli, who doesn't do a whole lot other than put up assists, although he does have an uncharacteristic two goals in his last three games. That's come on four shots. But I wouldn't necessarily expect that to come. But one knock on him, every time I look at Michelli as an ad in the Kakupful, I'm like, yeah, maybe he'll get me an assist. But in the Kakupful, that's still not even that worthwhile if you have no shots or peripherals to go with it. But he's been doing it so consistently now for a month now. Michelli has pointed in all but five games in the last month. That's a great little run he's on. It was like 17 games. So if you're looking for points, especially in a points-only setup, Matias Michelli is interesting. And that whole line with McBain, Michelli, and the third piece is Lawson Krause also hitting the score sheet too. His shots have really dried up. His hits are still there, in large part, but also worth considering in a peripherals league. So yeah, suddenly lots of value to be found in the desert.
Yeah, definitely. Andy's saying, if only they could be a real NHL team and not a money laundering scheme, then they could maybe be good in a few years. So we'll see if one day they get good management and actually hold it. Because yeah, they've got a ton of great prospects, right? Like, this Arizona team in theory could be good sometime soon. And they have picks, like so many picks already for next draft. All right, Brian, I got some injuries and outries for you. Okay, so let's run through these. On Colorado, obviously they already covered on short shifts that Arturi Lehkonen is hurt. Real bummer, because Colorado has that amazing schedule next week, the only team with four off day games. And I'm sure there were people that like traded for Lehkonen, did whatever they could to get him just for this week. And now he's out. So that sucks. Hopefully he'll be back for the Avalanche for the playoffs or soon into the playoffs. In the meantime, in the last game, back to Rodriguez on the top line with McKinnon and Rantanen. So that makes Rodriguez very interesting. And then on the top power play, Rodriguez hasn't been there. It's been McKinnon, Rantanen, Nichushkin, Makar, and JT Compher. So let's say you have both Rodriguez and Compher out there in free agency. You want to get in on those four off day games. Who are you going with? Top line, or are you going top power play?
I feel like we've had this discussion earlier in the year, and the answer was either or, because top line in Colorado can be like a top power play. You've got Evan Rodriguez playing with McKinnon and Rantanen at 5-on-5 and playing with them more often than JT Compher does, because you're at 5-on-5 more often than you're on the power play. But of course, on the power play, you have an extra skater. This is all my way of saying, Elon, that I think it washes out. But if you made me choose, I guess I'll go Compher.
I think I'll go Rodriguez, but yeah, I don't think we need to debate it.
Yeah.
Over on Nashville, Roman Josi is hurt. This stinks, Brian. I'm going into the finals in my dynasty league, and Josi's like one of my main guys. You know what? I actually just bit the bullet and added Matthias Ekholm out of free agency, who, you know, like, is obviously looking really good on Edmonton so far, but he carries that big cap hit for, you know, three more years. And I don't know like how he's going to age. He's already in his 30s, but I feel like I'm going for it in the playoffs, me and Maddie. And with Josi hurt, we need to do something. And so we'll see how this goes. It might be a short-term thing. Like, the latest on Roman Josi is that he's day-to-day with an upper body injury. The Preds are apparently waiting on more results on him. And John Hines said that they're not sure if it's his head, neck, or shoulder as of yet. Like, I don't like that. I don't like that they don't even know. Like, it might be all three. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole thing scares me. So I guess the bottom line here is that if Tyson Barry is out there in your league, all of a sudden Tyson Barry goes back to being a top power play defenseman. It's not the same as being the top power play on, you know, on Edmonton, but it's not nothing. So, and Barry might be out there. He's like on a cold streak, only 1 point in his last seven games. So I think going into next week, I would definitely take a look at free agency and see if you can jump on Tyson Barry with Josi out.
for as long as Yossi's out, right? And you mentioned we don't really know the full prognosis, so, and it could be day to day, so just keep an eye on things. But yes, Elon, I will agree, with Roman Yossi out, I would be very interested in Tyson Barrie, even on a Preds power play that, like, revolves around Roman Yossi, right? Like, the other guys on the top unit, it's not quite as bad as the Chicago one, but you've got Matt Duchene. I don't know, are you looking at this one too? Can I challenge you to name the other three?
I know them, but first of all, but anyways, let's also, like, don't even say it as if, like, Matt Duchene is, like, the one good one. Like, Duchene, yeah, also is fair. on the poop list. Pointless in his last six games. He's, if anything, the real name on that top power play that you want exposure to is probably Tommy Novak, who is red hot, yes, 7 points in his last six. So you will say at least Barrie gets to play with Novak, and then maybe, like, Barrie and Novak together can help Duchene get a point one day.
Yeah, that would be great for anybody waiting on Matt Duchene to get a point. Luke Evangelista is the other guy. He's the least interesting. So you've got Duchene, Barrie for now, Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, who hasn't necessarily been pointing, but has 13 shots over his last three games. And for a forward, his blocks numbers are decent, one or two a night, hits as well. So those are some nice little peripherals to help you out, and top power play opportunity. So yeah, it's an interesting top unit in Nashville at the moment, to say the least. But still, I would still like Tyson Barrie if he's available. Yeah, I'm interested.
Hey, isn't Philip Forsberg, like, returning imminently? Isn't that what we've been told?
That was that's a joke. Yeah. Like, I've been waiting. You know, there was an update. I found it like a week after that quote, but I had to go digging for it. And I still don't. I should have told you so you could have retweeted it. But, like, coach did give an update saying, well, you know, we thought it was going to be imminent, but then there's some other stuff that's concerning. Whatever, it's not imminent anymore. I'm not expecting him back.
Bummer. Okay, by the way, I said I'd give an update on Vanecek. He held on, yeah, only letting those two goals against Tampa, and New Jersey's gonna win 5-2 here. So maybe Vanecek gets the next game, and who knows what's going on. So maybe it's gonna be 50-50 for the next little while, so it makes it hard to know which New Jersey goal you want, if either. Next up, I was gonna go to Edmonton, actually. So I was gonna bring up, actually, Matthias Ekholm. So Zach Hyman was hurt, now he's back, so I guess nothing really to dig into there. Evander Kane just had a hat trick, good for him. But yeah, Matthias Ekholm looking really good on his new team. Like, this is another guy who maybe, like, took a couple games to get going. Like, he got to Edmonton and then it was looking like, maybe he's gonna be more of, like, a good defensive, you know, player for them, but don't expect much offense. He only had one assist in his first three games on the Oilers, but since then, well, specifically this last game against Seattle, 3 points, all assists. He also had a couple points in the previous couple games before the one versus Dallas. So we're looking at, like, 5 points in his last four games now for Matthias Ekholm. He's, like, decent for peripherals. He's had two blocks in each of the last three games. He had three hits in two of the last three games. Each, I should say. Also, for a while, Ekholm was getting, like, zero power play time at all, but all of a sudden, the last couple of games, that's jumped up, and he's been on, I guess, the second power play with around 35% of the time, and he actually did pick up a power play assist on McDavid's goal yesterday. And for what it's worth, I went on Twitter, and Brian, I don't know if you know this, but Oilers fans are very passionate, and they're not shy to say which
players. So I've noticed.
So a lot of tweets about how Bouchard sucks, which I don't necessarily think is true, and then a lot of tweets saying that Ekholm should take over. So I'm not going to read into it. It wasn't, like, any, like, beat writers that we trust or, like, you know, insiders that we trust to saying that kind of thing. But I do wonder if maybe Ekholm does continue to get an even bigger role on the team, and maybe even a bit of a power play role. If not bumping Bouchard, then at least, you know, getting some time with the big names on the power play. So I'm into him. I don't know. I just added him. I'm stuck with him for 4 years now. Well, three years after this one. So I really hope, like, I'm not even asking for much, right? If he could be a 50-point defenseman for me with, like, solid peris, that's great. Like, I'm not asking for 60 or 70. Nothing crazy, right, Brian? So tell me, please, that it was a good decision and he's not going to let me down and go back to being, like, a 30-point guy.
I mean, it's a hefty salary, but I think what I like about Ekholm in Edmonton, it's basically like a Darnell Nurse situation, right? Where you've got a guy who is pretty solid and steady, gets a lot of ice time with the best player in the world, and what's now a fairly decent top six in Edmonton. You know, now that you have Hyman and Kane, and of course, Leon Draisaitl as well, Nugent Hopkins, like, it's a top six there now, which is a lovely thing. And that's a great group to get a lot of time to be on the ice with. And that's one reason why, yeah, I am higher on Ekholm as an Oiler than I was on Ekholm as a Predator. And Darnell Nurse's best season as an Oiler came as a 50-point season because he shot 10%. And since then, as expected, he's gone back to his 4% shooting, but a 40-point player. We've already talked about how his hits and shot rates have dropped blocks. Like, his peripherals have struggled a bit while in Edmonton, which is a bit of a bummer. For Ekholm's part, though, the reason I made the Darnell Nurse comparison is because he's going to be playing the same minutes with the same great players. But Ekholm has shown himself to be a better setter, and I'm using the hockey viz term for somebody who's great at passing and creating plays by setting up others. So that bodes well, because there's a lot of great setup guys, or guys to set up, for Ekholm to play with. And that's one reason why, Elon, I'm hopeful. Like, 50 points, that'd be hard. Like, that's a big jump. But I'm hopeful that, you know, he's been a 30-35 point guy. I'm hopeful that he can at least be in the 40s for Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, like, I just like that, you know, he's going to be there with the big names, like you said.
He is. He's also hitting and blocking more in Edmonton than he was in Nashville, so there's that.
Yeah, come on, keep it going. Ekholm, don't make me regret this. All right, Brian, where should we go next here? Well, I guess we should take a break. Let's take our last break, and then we'll knock out everything else, which is a lot. So we'll be back in just a sec to get to some hot streaks and cold streaks. You're listening to Keeping Carlson. All right, we are back, Brian. At this point, I'm just going to jump around. We have a lot of stuff still on our docket. We're going to share the notes with the patrons. They'll be able to see everyone if we don't get to everyone, but I'm going to do the ones that I'm most interested in. And so we'll jump around. I want to start in Toronto, okay? Because all of a sudden, we have a new name, which is kind of an old name, back in the top six, and that's Cali Yarncroc. For a while, he was, but when, you know, Ryan O'Reilly came, we were like, well, forget about Cali Yarncroc now. But lately, Yarncroc has been back playing with Austin Matthews. And I think before he wasn't with Matthews, right? It was Yarncroc was playing with like Nylander and Tavares. And Bunting was playing with Matthews. Whatever. Anyways, Yarncroc's really hot right now. He's got 6 points in his last four games. He just scored 2 goals against Ottawa. Austin Matthews is looking like the Austin Matthews that people were drafting super, you know, high of, like first, second, or third in their leagues. He's got now 9 points in his last 6 games, taking a ton of shots. So Matthews is back to being like elite, elite Matthews, which means you want exposure to him. And right now that guy is Cali Yarncroc. So if you're in a deep league and Yarncroc is available, I'd probably like him over a lot of potential people you have on your roster. Obviously, it's a very short-term thing if you can fit him in. Toronto goes Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday next week. So obviously don't add him if you're not going to get him until Sunday.
Right, and a great place to be, playing alongside Austin Matthews. Super weird lines for the Leafs against Ottawa, though. Like, this is not a setup we often see, where Tavares is with Bunting and Marner, Matthews with Kerfoot and Yarncroc, and then Nylander, the odd one out, with Lafferty and Bobby McMahon.
McMahon in my dynasty. Did he get a point? No. He didn't get a point. He still hasn't gotten a point. I got excited about him. He's apparently doing well in the minors. I'm still waiting for him to get me his first point.
Well, in any case, I don't know how long these lines are going to last. The Leafs did beat Ottawa with these lines, but it was in a shootout and after giving up 4 goals.
Everyone beats Ottawa anyways. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, lately, for sure. But every single line lost the shot share battle against Ottawa. And one line, the Matthews, Kerfoot, Yarncroc line, they narrowly won the shot attempt share battle. The other lines got filled in pretty badly, actually. Ottawa roundly outplayed Toronto, if you're looking at those numbers. So we'll see. I don't expect them to last too long, but as long as they do, know that Cali Yarncroc, yes, is playing with Austin Matthews.
Okay, over in Philly, I wanted to bring up Owen Tippett, who's really just heating up lately. Like, he just had 2 assists in that loss to Carolina. Before that, he had a hat trick versus Buffalo. And before that, Tippett was pointless for 3 games, but he had like 8 shots in one of those games and 3+ in all the others. Like, it's been a while since Tippett has had a game with like fewer than 3 shots. So he's really taking over as like the go-to guy over in Philly with obviously Konechny out of the lineup. I think Owen Tippett is like having a coming out party. I think next year you're going to want to draft him. You're not going to want to leave him undrafted. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to get too crazy, but I think like at least like a 60-ish point guy. But like the thing is, it's Philly. Who knows? Like, everyone's going to get hurt at some point. Who knows who he'll be playing with? But I'm like, at least for now, anyways, we don't need to worry about next year. We'll talk about him over the summer for that. But just for now, Philly only does have that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So it's unfortunate, but I still would try to get Tippett in your lineup if you can. He's really breaking out right now.
Yeah. Okay, like I'm willing to watch and see. He was traded to Florida at the deadline last year, right, in the Claude Giroux deal, and he started, well, sort of strong. I don't know if you could call it strong. Ended up 7 points in 21 games last season at the end, and then has been sort of on again, off again. But 39 points in 64 games on the season, not too shabby at all, including 21 goals. And his shooting percentage is a pretty reasonable 11%, which means, yeah, he is taking a good enough amount of shots per game to expect him to have scored 21 goals already. Three shots per game on average for Owen Tippett. He's pacing for 50 points. We'll see if he can keep this up. Like, I don't know. The shots are incredible lately, right? Like, he's had several games where he's taken six or more shots over his last 10 or 11. And that's what I want to see. So I'm really happy to see that. My only concern is that, like, the Flyers cannot score up until this moment where they put up 9 goals in their last two games. They had, like, zeros, ones, and twos for going back over 10 games. And without Konechny, I just don't know what's there. You've got Kevin Hayes still around and not doing a whole lot. Tony D'Angelo, like, there's a lot of guys in Philly who are really difficult to roster. I might say that Owen Tippett is the one guy who's really proving that, like, having him on your roster is actually worthwhile right now, and that's in large part due to just those shots on goal. Because if Tippett isn't scoring, I'm gonna say what I said about Konechny. I don't know who else is.
Yeah, though I would say that Philly does have another guy that interests me right now. Their version of Sammy Blais is Brendan Lemieux, who, you know, was barely getting ice time at all when he was over on LA, but now over on Philly, Lemieux, I guess he's a torts guy, right? Like, he's been playing with Kevin Hayes and James Van Riemsdyk, getting good ice time. Lemieux is pointing lately. Like, if you look at his streak, he's got 4 points in his last four games, just had a goal and an assist in that game versus Carolina. And of course, that comes along with 3, 4, 5 hits pretty much whenever he plays. So not a guarantee for points, obviously, though I do like the deployment right now. But if you need hits and then you want a guy who can give you those hits and the potential for points, I'll put Lemieux right up there with Sammy Blais. Though Blais is getting more power play time, so I'd still take Blais over Lemieux, but you got another one in Brendan Lemieux. So yeah, throw him out there.
That's a pretty good comparison. Lemieux was also scratched a couple times already, so we'll see if that happens again. And it wasn't like he was scratched the game after he scored a goal, so we'll see what happens in the games to come for Lemieux. But Elon, good call for somebody who might need his peripherals.
Yeah, patron Brandon wanted us to talk about Wyatt Johnston over on Dallas. Brian, so you were talking about a bunch of Calder candidates. Do you think that with no one really, you know, making a strong case for themselves, maybe Wyatt Johnston can get himself into the conversation before the end of the season? Because right now he's got goals in 4 straight games, so having a really nice run, 5 points over that stretch. Johnston has been playing on a line with Jamie Benn and Evgeny Dodonov, then also on the top power play. Very hard to crack the top line or the top power play on Dallas, so Johnston is probably in the best spot you can be outside of that. Obviously, he's not going to keep up this run, but is he someone that you're looking at to stream and potentially hold for the rest of the season? Looking at Dallas's schedule, it's another doozy, another Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So do you like Johnston enough to take him, even though you're going to have to probably be sitting someone else and not actually gaining any games by adding him?
Probably not. Those 4 goals have come on 11 shots. And while they've gotten Wyatt Johnston to the 20-goal mark as a 19-year-old rookie, like, that's really impressive stuff. I don't really count on, like, this production continuing to come through. Generally, he takes a couple shots a night. And I think that means that you could probably expect a goal every 4 or 5 games instead of the every night that he's provided you with when for the last 4 contests. It's a great look in a deeper league if you do have an open spot to fill, but otherwise I am not running out to go get Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah, not for this year. I think he's looking like he's going to be really, really good for years to come. You know, if you're in a keeper, deep keeper dynasty type.
Former, picked a 23rd overall in 2021.
Dallas is good at drafting. They did have one easy pick recently, which was the 3rd overall pick in 2017. They took Miro Heiskanen, and they didn't blow that pick. Well, I guess Makar did come after, so you could say, but I don't think anyone's complaining right now. Heiskanen on a crazy run, 17 points in his last 10 games. He's up to now over 70-point pace on the season, looking like he probably will crack 70 with the run that he's on. So, Brad, we don't even have time to dig into Miro Heiskanen, but just wanted to shout out how awesome he's been. Looking at another rookie, though, why don't we go to Columbus? We've got another potential Calder candidate. I mean, probably not, but another guy who I sometimes mix up for Wyatt Johnston is Kent Johnson, not on as hot a run, but Kent Johnson does have 5 points in his last 6 games, so thought I'd throw him out there. Of course, the real guys heating up on Columbus are the guys that nobody could get, Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine. Wow, okay, like Gaudreau was like cold for a while. I wouldn't have even like been too mad at you if you needed to move on. But yeah, he had that big 2-goal, 3-assist game versus San Jose. Since then, he's been taking 4 shots every single game. Didn't get a point today against Vegas. Patrick Laine was on a really great hot streak going into today's game against Vegas, and it looks like he's continuing it. 2 assists today. So we're up to now 12 points in his last 9 games. So Patrick Laine, it doesn't even matter if he doesn't have the best players to play with. He's currently pacing for 76. Theoretically, he could even approach his career. His career high is 70 points. He's currently at, well, no, I guess he could beat the pace, but I guess he doesn't have enough games. Yeah, 50 points in 54 games. Brian, do you think that Laine is going to get to a point per game? And like, do you think that this is finally him emerging as a star? Someone like meeting the potential that we were expecting out of him?
Even beating the pace for Patrick Laine would be like great, right? Like, I don't care if he doesn't meet his career high points. And Patrick Laine has done this pretty quietly, too. He's almost a point per game through 54 games played, which, by the way, he did in Columbus last year. So this is Liney's second consecutive year of, I'm just going to call it, Elon, I'm rounding up, essentially a point per game performance from Patrick Laine. And to me, it looks pretty sustainable. Like, I don't see any reason why he would do any worse now that we're seeing pretty consistent numbers with no unreasonable variance showing up. Like, maybe he's been in on like a couple extra power play points this year, and maybe that's enough cause to say, yeah, he is a 75 point player versus an 82 point player, maybe 70, 75 point range, more like it. But Patrick Laine, thankfully, has found a home here in Columbus. And I think that this bodes well for anybody looking to draft him next year. It's been a while since we've known what we could expect from Laine. Of course, these are famous last words. This is when so many players go ahead and switch it up on us. But I've seen enough to comfortably expect that Laine can be in that 75, somewhere between that 70 to 80 point range. See, I'm still nervous to pick a more specific number than that. But that's what I'm looking for from Laine next year. And I would hope he only gets better as the players around him do the same.
Yeah, like if everyone's healthy, this team is better. Like if you have Zach Werenski on the power play, that's probably better than Boakvist and Blankenberg and whoever they've been stuck with. So yeah, I think things are going to get like better for Columbus as the years go on.
We should mention Boakvist, if anyone's holding on, probably a snoozer. He's still on the top power play. His shots are still decent, but he has just 1 point in his last 7 games.
Yeah, and he only plays one time before Friday. So yeah, definitely drop him, and then you could always add him back if you really are desperate for D and come Friday, Saturday, but probably not. Okay, Brian, the guy who Laine was traded for, of course, was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who missed a lot of time, but he's been back now for a couple games for the Jets. He got an assist in his return versus Nashville. Nothing today. He did take 4 shots, though. I am seeing that Dubois was off the top power play. The lines today were Dubois with Wheeler and Connor, and then Ehlers with Shifley and Nino Niederreiter. And then the top power play, though, was Wheeler, who's been off the top power play for a lot of the season. He was on the top unit with Shifley, Ehlers, Connor, and Morrissey, leaving both Dubois and Nino on the second power play. Of course, the Jets lost 3-0. They got shut out, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe things get changed up for the next game. But anyways, Pierre Dubois, we know who he is. He's good. Nino Niederreiter is someone who a lot of people were really excited about after coming to Winnipeg and getting in such a good role. I should mention he is pointless in his last 3 games after that great stretch, though he does have 3, 4, and 4 shots in those 3 games. So Brian, are the shots enough to convince you that if you have been holding on to Nino, that you continue to hold on to him, or now that he's pointless in 3 off the top power play, is it time to move on?
Off the top power play is a bit of a bummer, but that the shots are still coming, and but somehow Niederreiter still had almost 20 minutes of ice from the second unit on Saturday against Nashville, played just under 15 minutes tonight against St. Louis, but that power play wasn't successful tonight against St. Louis, so maybe they shuffle the power plays back up again. I would hold on to Nino a little longer, assuming that he's going to actually get games in for you and you can't drop him to add more games that you might need for this upcoming matchup week. But yeah, he's done enough to earn at least a bit of a longer look if you can afford to give him one.
By the way, Shams is sharing in the chat here that Berube said on St. Louis that Hofer is going to stay here. So
yeah, wow. You know what? I feel like I thought about it a little more since we talked about it, and I feel like the Blues would love, like they are committed to Binnington to some extent, right? Like they signed him, they chose him over Huso. He's the one they chose. They still 4 more years, oof, at $6 million per season. But it seems like the coach is like over it with Binnington, and the team probably is too. Like how many you can afford a meltdown if you're playing well, but Binnington has not been doing that, and the Blues are awful. So I wonder if Hofer, yeah, like even splits the net at least. I could
or
see
gets
them
all
just,
the starts. Last year, Huso did it.
Yeah, I could see the Blues, honestly, despite Binnington, like he hasn't earned starts in his play or his off-ice behavior. So why not just like if we're keeping Hofer? Yeah, this kid comes in. He works hard. He plays well. Give him the net.
Yeah, so very interesting. Yeah, I think if you have Binnington, I'm not taking him out of my IR, right? At the very least, until he gets a start. And if you need to add someone and you're, you know, you're stuck, I'm okay to drop him right now because Hofer seems like he's better. And also, he's not going to be bringing as much drama. You know, but it's like Edmonton. Sure, they're like technically, you know, committed to Campbell, but obviously they're going to play Skinner if they want to actually go far and win. And so that's what they're going to do. Brian, all right. So at this point, we're nearing the end of our 2 hours allotment. There's still a few more names here on my sheet. Is there anything you wanted to specifically talk about of everyone I have listed here before we get out of here?
No, why don't you roll through it real quick just to, you know, for completion's sake. And if I have something to add on top of anything you mention, I will.
All right. So let me see here. So Philip Grubauer may be hurt for Seattle. I don't think we have an update on him. Martin Jones stinks. So what are you going to do? I think that's because Grubauer has been pretty good, actually. It's kind of a bummer if you added him expecting to get volume then for him to get hurt. So hopefully he's okay. Oliver Bjorkstrand, by the way, on Seattle, finally hot. Kind of. So like, getting something out of him, especially in a cap league. I have him, Brian, in my dynasty where this cap has really started to eat away at me. But I'm spending this much money for this, for Oliver Bjorkstrand, not getting any points, but lately he's been good. So I like that for my playoffs. I also was going to mention Vince Dunn, super hot. I feel at this point I shouldn't even mention it. It's like saying that Adam Fox is hot, right? Like Vince Dunn just has been good all year and he continues to be good. The other streaks I wanted to mention, I guess like, you know, just the guys that you'll never be able to add, but just fun to look at, like Matthew Tkachuk. And what he's doing over in Florida is like insane. He's looking like he could be like a top five pick maybe in fantasy next year. Like it's insane to think that in the summer we were sort of looking at like, yeah, they lost Huberdeau, they got Tkachuk, like kind of even Steven. Like no. Matthew Tkachuk is a huge superstar, and Huberdeau, the coach doesn't even like him at all. Also Barkov, Montour are hot. Ekblad still off the top power play in Florida. Verhaeghe has bumped Ekblad from PP1. So I should have probably brought Ekblad up as one of those core defensemen.
Yeah, I have Ekblad as a keeper in a league we're both in, and I am concerned. Like, and it's a league where like I am not at all set at deep. Well, I have John Carlson, who should have another little while in him, but Ekblad as a keeper does not seem as appealing as it once did. I already remember Seth Jones. I mentioned how long it had been since he had an assist. Aaron Ekblad has gone his last 16 games without collecting an assist, and a lot of that might be. Because, well, no, he's been on the top power play for a bunch of those games. So that's not it. He's still taking a ton of shots. Anyway, this is like just a bad development for somebody that I was willing to be patient on. And now that he's off the top power play, it's like, well, how patient do I really want to be while he struggles towards a 42-point pace? I think Ekblad has deserved better. I'm not sure how much better. And I definitely don't know how much better if he does not get that quarterback spot before the end of the season. It's going to be a tough decision to make for me.
Yeah, I mean, who would have bet on Brandon Montour being the clear, better defenseman to have on Florida over Ekblad? But that's definitely the case right now. Montour is doing great. He continues to roll. He's on the top power play. There's no reason to take Ekblad over Montour at this point, in my opinion. Also, someone that a lot of people were excited to draft and potentially stash, Anthony Duclair, not very exciting, right? Like, you know, you stashed him all year waiting for this moment for him to get on the top line with Barkov. He's been there, but even though Barkov is doing great, like Duclair is pointless in his last three games, like barely shooting. So definitely drop him if you've just been holding on because you shouldn't have been. Who else here? Oh, Brandon Hagel all of a sudden is hot. So that's exciting, right? He got a hat trick in his last game. He's back on that top line playing with Kucherov and Point. I guess Tampa did play a game today. Let me see. Let's get the update here. I already talked about it, how New Jersey won 5-2. And the Tampa goals were Kucherov from Stamkos and then Killorn from Chernak and Sorelli. So nothing for Hagel here. It's an interesting question, Brian. Another one of those line one versus power play ones, like I did in Colorado with Compher versus Rodriguez. Over in Tampa Bay, I was going to ask you, who would you rather have? Hagel on the top line with Kucherov and Braden Point, or Alex Killorn, who's not on the most exciting line but is on that top power play and is super hot right now, but so is Hagel. So actually, I'm into both of them. But who would you take if you had to only pick one?
Oh, yeah, it feels very much like the Colorado situation too. I don't know that like I would pick whichever one's available to me. I will say that like Tampa today, at the end of the game, they did reunite Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov, although, like, I think that might just be, like, a situational thing. I don't know that they plan to spend whole games doing that, but that would be a reason, you know, to knock Hagel down a notch, whereas I think Killorn is pretty settled in on that top power play. So, give me Killorn is, like, the boring choice, and Hagel is the one with the exciting upside.
Hey, if my boring choice is giving me 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 goals in his last 10 games, 7 goals and 3 assists, I'll take it. I'll take that every day of the week. I got him in that league, Brian. He's not going to be a keeper for me in the league that we're in, but I'm in a tough playoff matchup against Jeremy, and Killorn is helping me hang in there. It's going to be tough. Jeremy is very good at fantasy and at knowing how to use Fantrax to its maximum potential to your advantage. And so, yeah, we'll see if I can get through here, me and John. But yeah, Brian, I think that's it. Oh, Josh Anderson is hot on Montreal. I don't know. We've mentioned him before. Someone to take a look at if he's in free agency. I think I'm good. So I really want to thank everyone for listening, especially if you've made it all the way to the end of a 2-hour blockbuster mega show. This must be because either A, you're fighting for your life in fantasy and you want to take any help you can get, or B, you're a fan of the show. We appreciate you in either case, right? And anyone who's like listening to us all season, you know, you're the ones who are keeping us going here. And so, yeah, we really appreciate it. And we hope that you've enjoyed the season of Keeping Carlson as we slowly start winding down. But like Brian said, we still got a great couple weeks of the playoffs to finish off. And then we're going to have that Keeping Carlson playoff pool, which has become a really fun tradition. So if you're a patron of Keeping Carlson, please don't leave. We're going to have a lot of fun in the playoffs still. And I believe, Brian, didn't I win this Keeping Carlson sweatshirt from winning the playoff pool? I got the sweatshirt for something.
You did. Yeah, that's what you got it for.
It's a little small. Like when I lift my hands over my head, you could see my midriff. And I've been doing a lot of like lifting my baby over my head lately. And so Dina keeps telling me your belly is showing. Maybe I should have asked you for a bigger size. But aside from that, I really like it.
Thanks for that context.
All right. So with that, Brian... Yeah, you can become a patron. By the way, if you're not a patron, you can join the playoff pool when we get... I'll just say really quickly, okay? The way the playoff pool works is we redraft every round. And so if you like rank high enough in the first round, you like survive to the second round. And we keep knocking people out until by the end, there's only like a few people left fighting in the finals. So it's a really fun format. Ben Burnett made it up a few years back. But okay, with that, Brian, let's cue the outro music. Go ahead and read us the credits. Take us out of here.
All right. This episode of the Keeping Carlson Fantasy Hockey Podcast was presented by Dobber Hockey and powered by our patrons, including our super supporters, Ricard, Rob, David, Derek, Ryan, Tom, Andrea, Ivan, Tyler, Aaron, and Adam, and of course, Patty. Thank you all so much for your super support and all our patrons for your support. Also, shout out to Edward, who I mentioned has done a little bit of graphic design work at Kickupful.com and for our Sweden division. You can check out more of his stuff at like40.com. Also, go to Kickupful.com, go to the standings, click through to Sweden, and you can see the matchups play out this week as we are down to our final four fighting for that Keeping Carlson Ultimate Playoff Championship. The most
celebrated person in all of fantasy hockey.
I was going to go for celebrated too. Yeah, this is what you play for. All right.
My pick? Do you have a pick of who you think is going to win?
Yeah, I'm going with Mark. He's been like the top player for 2 years now. Like, I know you beat him last year, and I think he wasn't first, right? I think he finished second in the division, but he seems unstoppable.
Yeah, he's really good. I really feel like I was lucky to, you know, happen to catch him on not a great week in the finals last year. That's what happens when you're playing head-to-head one-week playoffs. But yeah, I'll always, when Mark goes on to, you know, potentially be like a 5-time couple ultimate champion, I'll be able to say that I was the one who beat him one time a long time ago. But yeah, all the competitors are great. Like you said, Brian, Ryan, who won the fast track. Jordan's been like really great forever, always in tier one ranking high. And Harrison, like, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see how this plays out.
These are the four best fantasy hockey managers in the world. So I can't wait to find out what happens. Follow along with us, kkupfl.com. Thanks to Kevin Hebert and our team of co-commissioners helping keep the Cupful running smoothly. Thank you to you, Elon, and Shams Benamore for all of the fancy news coming at GameDayTweets.com, and also Shams, Lewis, and Jeremy keeping those short shifts F's coming. Logo art by BrandonWeave.com. Outro music by Pat Roach. This episode was researched with help from Dobber Hockey, Frozen Tools, Dobber Prospects, Natural Statric, Evolving Hockey, Cap Friendly, The Athletic, HockeyGoldies.org, Hockey Reference, Hockey Viz, Hockey Database, Elite Prospects, and Yahoo.
Great job as always, Brian. Really fun to do another show with you after your vacation. Back in top form. Brian, of course, like I mentioned, we're going to have another big week of shows with short shifts coming, and then we're going to be back next weekend to do this all over again to preview the finals week in the Cupful. And what should we all do while we're taking in this very exciting week of fantasy hockey?
Well, please make sure you're doing all that you can so that fantasy hockey is something that can be for everyone.